Silvopasture is the intentional integration of trees into pasture systems. Although most of the research in the southeastern U.S. has been on pine-based silvopastures, I'll be presenting research on deciduous hardwood silvopastures in Blacksburg, Virginia. In our research, we have compared traditional open pastures to two different types of hardwood silvopastures, a black walnut silvopasture and a honey locust silvopasture. Both of these trees were initially selected in part for their phenology. Both trees leaf out late in the spring, lose their leaves early in the fall, reducing competition for light with the cool season forage understory. Black walnut trees also produce nuts, valuable timber, and these millwood honey locust trees produce browse and edible pods for grazing livestock. The management goal of these integrated systems is to maximize the positive interactions between all the components such that you can increase land productivity or the services provided by the land. In some real-life examples of silvopasture, researchers in Missouri found that ryegrass underneath pine and walnut trees was reduced in growth by about 20%. You can see this by the black bar, which represents the deviation from the control, the green line at 100%. So there's a 20% reduction in the silvopastures. However, increases in forage protein levels and slightly lower levels of fiber within the silvopasture forages likely compensated for the reduction in the amount, and so animals actually gain the same in the silvopastures as in the open pastures. So even with the products produced by the trees, these systems were still producing the same amount of animal output. In Virginia, researchers also found that cool season forages underneath black walnut and honey locust trees produced, again, about 80% that of the control, represented by the green line. In these silvopasture forages, however, there is the same amount of forage protein, and actually more fiber in this case. And so there is less forage, it is less nutritious, and yet somehow these sheep still gain the same within the silvopastures than in the open pasture systems, which indicates that something else must be driving animal growth within silvopastures. And so we developed the hypothesis that perhaps the benefits to animals in terms of their comfort compensates for any changes in forage characteristics within silvopastures. Our first objective was similar to the studies from Missouri and Virginia, document the forage response, but we wanted to go a little further with animal response, not just their growth, but also their behavior and their body temperatures. Our study took place on these 20-year-old hardwood silvopasture sites in Blacksburg, Virginia, and you can see the treatments all replicated here in a randomized complete block design across this aerial view. And it was a 12-week study over the past three summers. Throughout this presentation, the color black will refer to the black walnut silvopasture, yellow will represent the honey locust silvopasture, and green will be our control. We rotationally stocked our pastures with lambs according to forage availability. The difference in starting weight each year was just a function of market availability, what we could get. And finally, because of parasite issues in the first 2 years, we switched to a hardier hair sheep cross in the final year. Our statistical analysis was a randomized complete block design with a repeated measures analysis of variance. We separated means using Tukey's honestly significant differences with what else an alpha of 5%. Before and after each rotation, we measured forage mass with a rising plate meter, which rises and falls with forage height. And we assessed the species composition at 12 fixed points every 4 weeks. Every other rotation, we collected samples for analysis of their nutritive value, including neutral detergent fiber, which we measured with an ANCOM fiber digester, and percent protein, which we measured looking at total nitrogen with a carbon and nitrogen elemental analyzer. Related to the animal response, we weighed the animals every 4 weeks, averaging 2 unshrunk body weights. We used these small temperature sensors, if I can find them, there we go, right here. They're set to log temperature every 10 minutes. And we inserted them into a blank cedar. These are devices typically used to synchronize estrus and ewes. These did not have progesterone, so we put the cedar or the temperature logger within them, sealed them with electrical tape, and put them into the ewes for 3 days of each week, as you can see in this photo. For 1 day of each week, we took a picture of each system every 60 seconds, and we used marking paint to visually distinguish the different animals so we could determine what their shade use was and what their behavior was in these civil pasture systems. Perhaps the most significant result from the study was how much my collaborators and I preferred spending time in the shade than in the hot sun of the open pastures. But as for our other results, we found that in the black walnut civil pasture, represented here by the black bar, forage growth was reduced by about 30% relative to our control, represented by the green bar. Yellow represents the forages within the honey locust civil pasture, and in this system, there was no difference in forage growth compared to our control. Presented here is the different species associated in the different systems, and the species in the black walnut civil pastures were very different from that of the other systems. So percent composition is on the x-axis, and if we look at tall fescue, there was much less of it within the black walnut civil pasture, shown by that black dot. In the black walnut civil pasture, there was more orchard grass, more bluegrass, more red and white clover, but there were also more warm season grasses. These are species such as yellow foxtail and nimblewill, typically not preferred by sheep and generally pretty fibrous. There was no horse nettle, the toxic weed horse nettle, in the black walnut civil pastures, that is. From a nutritional perspective, there wasn't very much difference between the different systems. Forage protein within the open pasture, shown here by the green bar, was 14%, only a percentage point lower than the others, and it was adequate for lamb growth at their stage of growth. For neutral detergent fiber, the forages within the honey locust civil pasture were also just a percentage point lower than the forages in the other systems. So with this in mind, we might expect that in the black walnut civil pasture, where there's less forage and it's less desirable, that the animals there would probably gain less than animals within the open pasture. And we might expect in the honey locust civil pasture, where gains are the same, where forage characteristics are the same, that gains would be probably about the same. In fact, when we look at the average daily gain of lambs across the 3 years, we found that animals within the civil pastures gained as well or better than animals within the open pastures. This is presented by year because of treatment by year interaction. In the first year, the lambs across the systems were larger than the lambs in the other systems, and so gains were low, but they were equivalent across all systems. In the second year, gains were again low, this time due to parasites, but they were also equivalent across all systems. But finally, in the third year, when gains were good, the animals within the black walnut civil pastures gained more than animals in the other systems. However, you might recall I said we stocked according to forage availability, so the black walnut civil pastures supported fewer animals. So it would be more appropriate to portray this not as individual performance, but total system output. What are all these systems producing? When we look at this, there is no treatment by interaction, and we found that all systems produce the same amount of livestock gains. And in the case of the black walnut civil pasture, that occurred despite some problems with forage production. So something else must be driving animal growth, and this leads me to my comparison of their physiology and their behavior. This figure represents the vaginal temperature on the y-axis, portrayed over a 24-hour period. This is all the data averaged across the 3 years. And sure enough, the animals within the black walnut civil pasture had lower body temperatures, this is shown by the black dots, during the hottest part of the day. The honey locust trees have a lighter shade canopy, and the animals in these systems, shown by those yellow dots, also had slightly lower body temperatures than animals within the open pasture, shown by the green dots at the top. And their peak temperatures occurred at 4 p.m. It's interesting to look at this in terms of the temperature humidity index, shown here by the red line and defined by the axis on your right. The animals within the civil pastures experienced less fluctuation in day-to-night temperature change, whereas those animals without any trees there to modulate their body temperature rose and fell dramatically with the ambient conditions. This figure presents the mean time budgets for the animals in the different systems. Similar to the behavior of us researchers, the animals in the civil pastures spend most of the day in the shade. You can see here with the black and yellow dot, over 90% of the day they were in the shade in the civil pastures. The animals in the civil pastures also spent slightly more time grazing, whether due to more comfortable conditions or maybe due to a lower forage canopy. Most importantly, the animals within the civil pastures spent more time lying down. The animals in the open pastures spent about 2 hours longer each day just standing up. And this represents a couple things. First, it takes more energy to stand up than to lie down. And second, time spent lying down is a traditional metric of animal comfort. Although we didn't personally survey the ewes, we are confident that the animals in the civil pastures were more comfortable. And so, in conclusion, within the black walnut civil pasture relative to our control, there was less forage there, the species were less desirable, yet the benefits to the animals in terms of their body temperatures and their time budgets compensated for those changes, and animals still gained the same as animals in the open pasture. In the honey locust civil pasture, the similar forage characteristics coupled with the slight benefits to their temperature and the behavior also led to equivalent gains. So in these civil pastures, anything produced by the tree represents the net productivity of these systems over open pastures. Our data indicate that civil pastures can increase land productivity when incorporated into cool season forage-based livestock systems. Thank you. I'd be happy to take any questions. Yes, sir. Okay, so the question is, are we taking into account the leaf litter in terms of forage production, right? Not animal. You're not talking about animal consumption. You're talking about organic matter, nutrient cycling for the forage. Yes, sir. That's a great question. Actually, we found that sheep are pretty effective browsers. We left the stumps to regrow. And the first thing they would eat going into a new pasture were those stumps, and they would not eat anything else until those were completely gone. As far as nutrient cycling goes and the benefits that the litter provides to the forages, we did not measure that, and that was certainly outside of our study period, which was predominantly the summer months. But I think previous research has shown that it can increase nutrient cycling in these systems for sure. And you've got one of the neat things about civil pasture is this niche segregation where the tree roots go deeper than the roots of the forages. And so you're able to capture more system nutrients. Yes, sir.
Did you look at it already?
Yes, sir. The question was, do I have a feel or have I looked at what the timber production would be of the civil pastures compared to traditional plantations of black walnut trees or honey locust trees. Just briefly, just my own calculating, calculated based on trees per acre and perhaps saleable logs, but I didn't take any sort of log measurements. And I think it would probably be about 20% that of traditional hardwood plantations. Which species would provide a better return? Well, I think that depends on your objectives. So with black walnut trees, in terms of timber, certainly. I don't know that honey locust trees, there's a viable market for that wood. But if you're interested in livestock production and you get pods that dump during the cooler months of the year, and that's an energy source that complements the crude protein in our cool season forages, I think you can argue that that would be a better fit in the livestock production system. So I think it does depend on your objectives.
Yes, sir. You suggested that shade that may have been part of the difference in response. If you had applied artificial shade to the open pasture, would that have compensated for it, or was there still more nutrients to be gathered underneath those trees?
Yes, Yes, sir. That's a great question. So what about the question is, what's the role of artificial shelter or shade compared to trees, and what might be the disadvantages or advantages of both? Of course, trees also produce, they're evapotranspiring, so that's producing cooler conditions. If there might be greater humidity underneath a live tree than in the shade canopy, but it is generally cooler. And we didn't measure that, but I think that could be proved. In terms, the other thing about civil pasture is these trees are on a 40 by 40 foot spacing. So they're distributed throughout the pasture. And what we see is, instead of having just a single site where there's shade, those animals have opportunity to move around and utilize resources more efficiently, and also graze while they're in the shade. So we've looked at some grazing patterns with some acoustic monitors, and the animals within the civil pastures graze during the middle of the day, whereas those animals in the open pastures, and I think the same would happen if they had just one single spot with shade, they would just stay there and they wouldn't move. So I think a tree that's, they're well distributed, not just one tree in the pasture, but well distributed shade can be effective at getting these benefits. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So the question was, the shade moves around. Did we notice any sort of improved site utilization within the civil pastures because those animals could graze all over the place? We didn't measure it, but we think we managed them such that they were pretty efficient in their utilization because of the rotational stocking. So we could knock it out pretty even before moving on, and that was the case, I think, in all treatments. I think if you were dealing with a less managed system, you'd probably notice those differences.
All right. Thank you. Thanks a lot.